Ours to Protect. Brought to you by LMFM, the IBI, and funded by Commission Amman with the television license fee. Check out ourstoprotect.ie for more information.
Welcome to another episode of Ours to Protect, a series dedicated to climate change and action. Today it's all about fast fashion and its negative impact on the planet. Let's begin with Mark Cahill, who works for the Climate Action and Environment Department of Meath County Council, who puts fast fashion in context from an Irish perspective.
There's about 100 billion new items of clothing made every year, and they've estimated that there's actually enough on the planet right now to cover everyone for the next six generations of people. So it's responsible for about 10% of global carbon emissions. And Ireland, you know, in some industries we can be fairly exempt, we might be better than others, but with the fashion industry we're pretty bad. So the average EU consumption of clothing every year is about 26 kilograms. And Ireland is twice the EU average at about 53 kilograms per year per person. So it's one that's really kind of gone out of control. Yeah.
House of Colours' Maria Macklin is a fashion style and colour consultant who has strong views on fast fashion and its negative implications all round.
Well, fast fashion is the same as fast food. It's processed clothes, typically, made with very poor ingredients at way too quickly. And so the longevity, the good fabrics aren't used. Clothes aren't made very well. They're made too quickly. They are priced too cheaply. There's no value in them. They're usually made using synthetics, polyesters. They're not disposable because they don't ever decompose. They're produced en masse, way too much, overproduced. We have too many. And there's now fast fashion and hyper fast fashion. So those are clothes that are even made more quickly. And it's causing a huge problem to our minds, to our overwhelm, to our pockets, to our planet. There's nothing good about fast fashion, in my opinion. So we're continuing to produce way more than we need. The overproduction is vast, and it's not even well produced. It's badly produced. The dyes used are polluting our rivers. The fabrics used, we're using pesticides on, or they're made from oil and they don't decompose. As I said, we have more microplastics in our water than ever before. Most of those come from the clothes we wear. We throw stuff into charity shop when we're finished with it, but it never goes away. It ends up somewhere else. Some of the countries where it's ending up are now blocking our exports, which is probably going to be a good thing, because why shouldn't they? Why should they take our waste? So there's a huge amount of ethics around it. And also, these clothes are produced in the lowest economies by people who earn very, very, very little, and mostly women. So it has become a feminist issue as well. The demand, unfortunately, has been created by the producers, and we have fallen for it. But when COVID happened and we all went online, those producers created an online experience that we wanted. It was convenient. It's easy. But actually, that's fallen flat for them now, because we're buying too much. And when we're returning stuff, they have no way of dealing with that. And so a lot of the stuff that gets returned is actually dumped. And so this has kind of gone full circle. They were trying to make it convenient, but now it's become inconvenient to them and very, very costly for them to take that stock back. They have to look at every single piece that's returned. Nobody knows this, but when you return something, you're using miles to get it to you and then get it back, right? So there's that. But when it goes back to those companies, they have to take it out of the bag. Somebody, they have to look at it to make sure it's not damaged. They have to smell it, which for me is a disgusting thing for someone else to have to do, but they have to smell it to make sure it hasn't been worn. They have to check it for makeup. They have to check it for wear and tear. They have to make sure the label is still on it. And then it may or may not go back into stock. I mean, it's horrific.
Selene Shearer from Irish environmental charity Voice Ireland is on the trail.
So a couple of years ago, we did a report. We released a report that was looking at what happened to our clothes once we discarded in Ireland, were they being collected or not. And what we saw is that obviously there is a lot of people, you know, donating their clothes to charities, but 80% of everything that is being collected is being collected by private companies. And what we realized is that there's very little information about what those companies do with the clothes and where they go. So this year in December, actually 2024, we decided to take it into our own hands, I guess, and look into it a little bit further. So we sewed in 38 items. We sewed in air tags. And since then, since December, we've been tracking them. So we put them in clothing banks, the ones that you can find across the country in, you know, car parks or places like this, as well as in take back schemes, which are bins you can find in retail stores. And since then, yeah, we've been looking every week, basically where they were, if they were moving, where they were going, if we could identify any processes that they were going through. And 6 months later, now we have a lot of information. We see that we still have information for 27 of these items, and we can see them all across the globe. So we have some in Poland, in Germany, but some even further to Pakistan, Kenya, Togo. So there really are, it really highlights this international trade and journey that the clothes are going on.
Back to Mark Cahill, who has some excellent suggestions as to how we can wean ourselves off the fast fashion fix.
Like, there was a time that people would be nearly identified. Like, you could think of your granny in a certain jacket or mm-hmm. or your uncle in a certain hat, and you'd be able to be like, that's what comes to mind. Whereas yeah. now, we don't really have an idea or like an image of a person anymore. Like, people change their clothing so much they wouldn't be easily identified by a certain piece, whereas there's nothing singling them out as a character. So that has potential to kind of come back and just kind of more so connect with what you wear, I guess. So like, when we were kids, we would get a haul of clothes from our cousins who had just grown up, and we would wear them then, and there was nothing wrong with them. So then when I was in college and moving on, there was a real push then for secondhand clothing and for vintage shops. Now, some of the vintage shops can be quite expensive if you're getting vintage, but there has been a great shift to it, especially with younger generations, towards shopping secondhand and people who are maybe a bit more conscious of their purchasing power. So it's to just kind of spread that impact if we can across the generations. There are little things that we can do, like wearing the clothes you already have for an extra 9 months. That alone can reduce the carbon footprint of that piece of clothing by about 25%. Those kind of things can limit the impact. Mm-hmm. And in addition to just carbon, it's also quite water intensive. So if we can do initiatives and be more sustainable with it, we really can make a big difference on it. It just seems to be a hidden nightmare that people didn't realise is actually quite a big problem.
Back to Selene, who offers her advice on counteracting the fast fashion splurge.
It all goes back to looking at the source and how did we arrive there? Well, it's because of fast fashion, because of these overproduction from companies, and the fact that we all now see clothing as disposable. And it is understandable when, you know, there is clothes that are made from synthetic fibers that are, you know, very low quality and not really fitting well. So after only a few wear, you know, you don't really want to wear them anymore, and it's cheaper to buy a new one rather than either repair it or, you know, have more use of what you have at home. So it's sort of this cycle that is really not working well because we don't have any outs and capacities to deal with all of that waste. So there is something to be said also on our own consumption patterns and, you know, the care and the care that we put into our clothing as well. Ireland is I think it's number one or number two with this figure in the EU. So we do have a particular appeal apparently for the fast fashion. And so I think we should be looking at some, like, there are many other options in terms of circular economy and circular fashion. What I find in Ireland that is really great is the development of swap shops, which are really everywhere in all community groups. It's where you bring your clothes and you can exchange them for free with other people bringing them. So you can do it at a very small scale, just with your friends and your family. But at community level, it can really sort of fill that gap of wanting something new or, you know, getting a new life for your clothes. So there are many, many things that can be done. But also the main thing that I would also tell listeners to look at is try to buy a better quality item the next time that you look for it. You know, it's not always about secondhand. Secondhand is amazing, but if you do want to buy firsthand, then you should be buying something that will last longer and will, you know, have a better quality for you and for the future.
Next up, we're off to school to find out what young people understand about our subject matter today. Welcome back to Ours to Protect, where today we're focusing on fast fashion. Time to head to the classroom as Louise Walsh dropped into sixth class in Sandpit National School to hear what the youngsters there had to say about our topic today. Louise began by inquiring if they knew what fast fashion was and its implications.
It's basically where, say like for Zara, instead of having their own kind of style of clothes, they'll constantly be changing it. They're more aiming for money rather than their own kind of look, if you get me. Like even if you look at Shein and all that, typically they might use minimum wage workers, or for Shein they might use child labour, and usually it's not really good.
And what kind of clothes do you like to buy? Is it the football strips, or is it more Adidas, Nike brands?
Like Monterex, Nike and stuff like that, yeah.
Do you all get the, you know, anybody that gets the latest sports jerseys and Manchester United or Chelsea or whoever's in vogue at the minute kits, or do you kind of get somebody to buy them abroad for you? Oisín, so you get the latest here. Who do you support?
I support United.
United. And yeah. Do you support anybody else?
Probably Geordie United.
Okay, and do people going on holidays come home with some jerseys and stuff for you?
Yeah, sometimes, yeah.
Yeah. All Man United, or did they bring back different European ones?
Sometimes different, like Real Madrid or Barcelona.
Okay, man. But you try and keep up with the latest trends, do you?
Not really. It's just, I left a nice Barcelona kit, so I might get them, but I wouldn't get everyone just for the sake of getting it.
Guys, your parents, especially the mothers, would they get a lot of new clothes often?
My mum gets lots of clothes off Dunnes and Next.
Does anybody here borrow clothes, or, you know, get their sister's clothes or their brother's clothes handed down to them?
My mum doesn't have the best taste.
Okay, so you wouldn't go near her wardrobe then. You were saying, do you get clothes from your sister?
My mum.
Your mum, brilliant. Same size?
She's just a bit bigger, but like I can grow into them.
Do you have a choice, or do you say, I like that, I'll...
Yeah, I get a choice if I want to, and if I don't like it, she'll just throw them out or give them to charity.
Okay, well, I know from having a teenager, yous are quite picky, so your mother must have good taste, has she?
Yeah, she's pretty good taste.
Yeah? Okay. What can we do to stop fast fashion ourselves, or do our bit to help?
Not get clothes as often.
Okay. Anybody else?
Go more to the town.
Yeah, it's in shop locally rather than imported from far away. That's really good. That saves air miles as well, doesn't it? Okay. And do you shop often in the town?
Well, my mum does.
Do you know if we throw out clothes, if you get rid of clothes, anybody knows what happens to them or where they go? Hayden, we'll come back to you.
A landfill.
Is there anything else we can do with them?
Well, if they're raped, you can throw them away, but if they're not, you can pass them down to like a younger sibling or one of the friends that are shorter than you, something like that.
Brilliant. Okay. Is there places, do you think, that you can do that? You know, not just a sibling, but is there other areas that you can put your clothes to good use that somebody else will wear them?
You can bring them to the charity shop.
You can bring them to the charity shop. Has anybody ever been in a charity shop or bought off them?
If there was nicer clothes, I'd go in. I think I've been in once and I didn't really like anything in it.
All right. Well, I know, I think that the layout sometimes can be a bit higgledy-piggledy, that you kind of haven't time to go looking. And guys, you are heading into secondary school. Do you think in some ways uniforms might help stop people buying a lot more clothes?
Yeah, I think so. Because say if like you want to buy something, like you won't have to wash your clothes as much as if you're in school, because they'll get like dirty every day.
That's a very good point. Do you think washing your clothes affects the environment?
Maybe because in your wash machine and your dryer, you're using up electricity from your house, and it's affecting the environment because we're washing our clothes like almost daily.
Are men as bad as women in buying clothes, do you think?
My mum buys stuff from Shein,
Not that much, but she does quite a lot, and I've only bought like one thing from Shein when I was going on holidays.
What about your dad?
I don't know if he even knows it exists.
Okay, does anybody else's dad buy a lot of clothes? You think women are far worse at buying clothes, yeah?
Yeah, because I sometimes, if I have like some money, we would like go to the shop, and then like I'd be like, oh mum, I'm finished, and then she's like, no, I want to buy something.
I don't think men are as bad as women with buying like new clothes, because my dad wears clothes that is maybe 20 years old, and my mum gets new clothes all the time.
I think men are just as bad as women, because if anything, I think their clothes are more expensive, and I think they'd buy more sports stuff, like for Gaelic and stuff like that, whereas women wouldn't buy as much. We'd be more prone to buy like clothes for more everyday, where lads would buy like tons of jerseys and stuff like that, and they'd probably spend just as much money as women do.
When lads buy jerseys, do it, they don't take them off. They wear them until like they're ripped and everything. We get our money out of buying a jersey, like. Like my sister has dresses, and like she'll wear them a couple of times, and then you'll never see them again.
Girls buy stuff off Team and Sheen more, and we buy them from like Sports Director JD, and we wear them like more.
I think that overall girls sometimes like to buy stuff expensive like Louis Vuitton, Gucci, etc. But a lot of the time nowadays that they're just buying like clothes off Shein, Temu, etc. But a lot of the time, guys, we don't really wear like off-brand clothes. A lot of us wear stuff like Monterex, Monterrain, Nike, Adidas, etc. And I think it's just overall because girls can have like 7 different outfits that they can swap around every week, but men will have like either 5 outfits or like 50 outfits for the week. So it's all different, I think.
Tell me honestly, after this chat and you've learned about what fast fashion is and how it affects us and the air miles and the water, will it stop you buying as much?
I don't think it will stop me, because nearly every single shopping like place you'd want to go to is nearly all fast fashion, so your options would be like very, very limited. So like, is it a good thing? No, but you don't have much of a choice.
Lots of food for thought there from the next generation. Niamh Moore is the 6th class teacher in Sandpit who has truly embraced slow fashion in the face of the fast revolution.
I was just saying that you were asking about holiday outfits and do I buy new clothes? I don't. In fact, I have a suitcase that I leave high up in one of my wardrobes, and I literally keep all my summer clothes, and I reuse the same things, I'd say 95% of the time, if not 100%. I don't like the waste and buying things just for the holiday last minute. And 9 times out of 10, you bring them in your case and you never use them. So it's a complete waste. And I suppose you have to really ask yourself, is it a need or a want? And do you need it? And in general, I think everybody knows I love fashion, but I always try to buy pieces that are really good quality fabrics. They're 100% cotton, and I really get the wear out of them. And I hate wasting. I re-gift my clothes. I have 2 very kind sisters who gift me their clothes, and I really wear them. And I really wear my clothes until they're worn out. And I love them, you know, and I love to go to a charity shop and I always gift my items on.
I love it. And Miss Moore, just before you go, you were saying you hate buying new stuff all the time and you love regifting. What would be the oldest item of clothing in your wardrobe, do you think?
I've loads of items, and I'm sure the staff here can see that I pull out items from where I started here 17 years ago. I still have a gorgeous jacket. I've leather jackets that I bought when I was a student that are still in my wardrobe. And they actually get better with age. How old? I can't even think. I think I've an item in my wardrobe. I have it. It's a gift that my mum bought me when I was 18, and I'm still wearing it. You know, I'm not telling you my age, but...
That's brilliant. That's brilliant. I think these jeans are about 25 years old. Yeah. I know they look it, but I don't care. They're lovely. Guys, thanks so much for all your help. I've actually learned a load of things from you as well today.
Fashion and image consultant Maria Macklin is on the same page as Miss Moore.
If you know what to buy for you, such that you wear it many, many times in many, many ways for many, many years, then there's a value in that. But every garment in your wardrobe should be of value to you. And it's not about the price. It's about how often you wear it, where you wear it, how you feel when you're wearing it. All of those things have value. A garment that you buy for a fiver to wear once has no value to anybody, let alone to you. And it's all, we've lost the notion of value. That's where I think we failed as consumers. Now, the industries who are producing this amount and give us a T-shirt for the same price as a coffee have also allowed us to lose the sense of value. If you save and you spend 50 quid or 70 quid, but you've saved for something that you've wanted, you will value that item more than anything else in your wardrobe. And we know that. So that value piece is missing. Well, do you remember when fast food was becoming such a big thing that this slow food movement started, where people started to make things from scratch, sit down, talk, enjoy, you know, really get involved in the preparation? Slow fashion is like that. You get involved in what you're buying. You make sure that you understand it. You make sure. There was somebody who said recently that if everybody had to make one garment in their lifetime, just one, they would then understand what is put into a good garment. And so they would appreciate more when they see quality. And I don't care whether you're spending a tenner or a hundred, you need to understand that whatever you buy works well for you, fits you, works for your lifestyle, is the right style for you, that you're going to wear it a lot. And so sometimes that might mean buying it secondhand. Sometimes it's new. It doesn't matter, as long as you get the value out of it. The most sustainable way of being is to wear the clothes you already have. I do secondhand shopping trips with my clients about twice a quarter. And we go together, seven or ten, up to 10 of us, the number I can fit in my car. And we go to Dublin and we visit a range of shops, ranging from high-end secondhand to charity. And I start by saying to them, you know your blueprint, you know what you're looking for, you know your colours, you know your style. I don't care how much you're spending here. You might find something for a fiver, you might find something for 150. That's not the issue. The issue is whether it's right for you, whether it fits you. All of the questions that we always ask, the non-negotiables, colour, style, fit, quality, always. And they all come home with something gorgeous, which is secondhand. It's all secondhand. They all come home with something gorgeous, which is right for them, that I see them wearing very, very often. I mean, loads, because when it's right for you, it doesn't matter where you get it.
There's hope. Things are happening. People are becoming aware of the need to counteract fast fashion, as Mark Cahill from Meath County Council explains.
We linked in with Meath Made, which is like a syndicate of local designers. And one of them that we found in particular, who was brilliant with providing workshops on upcycling and mending textiles, was Brennan Mabel. So it's founded by Michelle Power, and she's locally based over in Kilberry. And she provides sewing classes from a range of topics. So introduction to your sewing machine and alterations, dressmaking. She even does lampshade making and reupholstery. So it's fantastic. She used to be in the fashion industry, and she's a graduate of the Grafton Academy. So we're getting top tier experience from her. So she's providing 9 workshops across the county, and she's done, I think at this point, 6 of them. Another provider that we have is Vida Ruskija, who's the founder of UPA, which is a local designer as well. And her workshops are on Right What You Think, so it's kind of geared towards children and teenagers. So they'll be able to customize and upcycle their own clothing by adding like appliques and kind of wording onto it made from linen fabrics. So they get to transform ordinary denim jackets and t-shirts into personalized like statement pieces, and kind of give clothing an extra zhuzh and a new life. So those kind of, they're 3 kind of arms that we have at the moment, doing sewing workshops and upcycling, and even just introducing people to that kind of creative sphere and getting them learned on how to sew and mend clothing.
Solène Scherer from Voice Ireland also believes a sea change is required from the fast fashion brands themselves.
There are a lot of businesses out there that are showing new ways of, you know, what a business can be, and it can be circular, but it's just, it needs to not be focused on just producing more and more every year and profiting this way. It has to be more holistic in their approach in producing quality items, that then they also have services that can repair and things like that. So what I would say is that fast fashion brands in the end will never be made sustainable fully unless they agree that they need to stop producing that much.
Let's conclude today on a positive note with Geraldine Cusson from Vision Ireland's charity shop in Navan, who sees a significant change in the age profile of customers.
When I first started here a good few years ago, it was mainly people in it between, you know, over the age of 50. I have now every age coming in. I have young teenagers coming in doing a little shopping on a Saturday when they're finished, you know, hanging out and I just think it's amazing. And like, we're at Electric Picnic at the weekend with our little pop-up shop there as well. And definitely the younger generation are starting to really think about sustainability and being responsible with the way they buy.
That's it from our focus on fast fashion today. Join us next month for another episode of Ours to Protect.
Ours to Protect is funded by Comisión na Meán with a television licence fee and is a partnership between LMFM and the Independent Broadcasters of Ireland. Check out ourstoprotect.ie for more information.